Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Heritage Financial are not affiliated.
Welcome back to Making Money Fun. We are at episode number 4. I am John Jagay, along with Shanna Tingem from Heritage Financial in Phoenix. And today we're talking about client investments. Good to be back with you, Shanna.
Great to be here. I'm excited.
I'm going to ask you right off the top and dive right in here. How do you measure a client's investments?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I get that question a lot, both from clients and prospects. Like, how can I measure that my investment advisor, financial planner, financial advisor is doing a good job? And that's a hard question to answer. So the one thing that you'll notice if you listen to the news or read the news or watch the news on TV, you're going to hear the news referring to something that they call the market, right? The market was up today, the market was down today. And what they're referring to in essence is what's called the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the Dow as it's referred to in short. The Dow is only 30 of the largest companies in the United States, only 30 companies. It's a very small subset.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very small subset, and it's a very poor comparison for most clients' portfolios. So if you're going to compare your portfolio to an index, it would be better to compare it to the S&P 500. Instead of 30 individual stocks, that is 500 individual stocks. So it's a much broader index.
So I was not very good at my statistics class in college, but I do understand that looking at 500 things is probably a better indicator than looking at 30, which is interesting to me because if you watch the news any night, that's the big headline is the Dow this, the Dow that. Oh, and by the way, the S&P 500, which is odd to me. And I'm really glad to hear you say that because, yeah, look at the average of the 500, not the average of the 30.
Exactly. And most of us, if we have a well-diversified portfolio, whether it's individual stocks or mutual funds, have somewhere between 500 and 1,000 at least different positions in our portfolio. So it would definitely be better to compare it to the S&P 500. But that still isn't a great indicator overall because the S&P 500 is primarily US-based companies that serve a US market. There are some international companies like Apple or Intel in those indexes, but there are other indexes that we can then use to compare the international or the fixed income sides of your portfolio too. So that's what we look at when we're looking at how we're doing as investment advisors and how our third-party money managers are doing managing our clients' money, is that we're comparing to those indexes that are most appropriate for that client's investment mix.
Got it. So sometimes you're asked to evaluate other advisors' portfolios, right?
Absolutely. And that's a free service that I'll provide to any prospect that is looking to maybe hire a new advisor, is I will look with a critical eye at their portfolio, understand that what we do is an art more than a science. So there's no right or wrong answer, right? But I certainly have my philosophy and I certainly have those investments that I like because I know how they've performed over time. And I would be more than happy to show anybody how what I would do would stack up against what they currently have.
Obviously, that is a huge thing to just sort of get that piece of advice to get a reference point. So with that in mind, Shanna, what are some tools and technologies that you use and that clients should use when looking at those investments?
There are all kinds of great pieces of technology out there today. And as a client, I give all of my clients a tool called eMoney. Mm-hmm. It's a personal financial portal that they can link not only the investments that I manage into, but their 401ks, 403bs, or 457s at work. They can link their checking accounts, their mortgages, their credit cards to it. And it really gives them a broad overview of how they're doing financially. And part of that package that they have access to, either on their phones or on their computer, is how we're doing on a 3-month, 6-month, 1-year, and lifetime basis. They can really look at how the investments that I'm managing for them are performing kind of over the long run.
It's great. So this is something that is so important that I don't think a lot of people know about, is this fiduciary obligation. You have this fiduciary obligation, and that changes your perspective a lot, right?
Yeah, it really does. So that's part of the reason in the last podcast, we talked about the fact that I outsource most of my investment management services today, and I didn't used to. I used to be the one pressing the buttons and buying and selling all of my clients' investments. But when we moved into the fiduciary standard, and we're going to keep moving in that direction over the next several years, I just did not see how I could justify that I was doing the right thing for the client at all times. If my days are set with client appointments and I'm sitting nose to nose or on a video conference with the client and the market is moving and I'm not able to react to those movements in the way that I needed to be able to. That's why I really look to outsource most of my investment management today, because those folks are watching the market from the minute it opens until the minute it closes, making the moves that need to be made in order to make sure that my clients' best interests are being protected.
Keeping their best interest top of mind and top of priority. I like it.
Yep.
So sometimes you'll look at somebody and they'll say, oh, you know, I got 15% return on my investments this year, but somebody else only got 10. How is it that sometimes people's investments are getting a much bigger return than others?
Yeah, that's a question I get all the time. And, you know, it used to be dinner party conversation or cocktail conversation, how, quote, my portfolio was doing.
And that must get exhausting if every single time you're at a cocktail party or a social event. Oh, you're a financial advisor. Oh, like, can you tell me why I only got 10% and
yes.
My brother got 15?
Oh, my gosh. And it's usually, I compare it to the fish that got away, right? I grew up with a dad that loved to fish, and they would go fishing. My dad and grandfather would go fishing every summer, and we always got these grand tales of the fish that got away, but we never ate fish. We never.
It was this 8-foot long marlin. And
yes, exactly. And that's kind of the bravado sometimes that you get when you get into having a conversation about somebody's portfolio. You never really know unless you're actually looking at the portfolio, how they're invested. Is it diversified? Is it well-balanced? Is it even real? Some investment advisors can manipulate the reports that they give their clients to make things look different than they really are. And so it's really, really important to compare apples to apples when you're comparing investment returns and specifically comparing investment returns with somebody else.
Yeah, because I think even in those situations when you're at a social event like that, people always want to spin things in a positive direction, you know, and you're not going to walk into a cocktail party and say, yeah, I lost all my money this year and had to declare bankruptcy.
Right.
My retirement went up in smoke. You're not going to, that's not dinner party conversations. Oh, you see a lot of that bravado, like you said, of, oh, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and. Yeah, exactly.
It may or may not be the truth. And so that's something to take with a grain of salt for sure.
Absolutely. So some people get different kinds of returns on their portfolios. So you have a new client come in, they have a portfolio either on their own or with another advisor, and you really don't like what you see in this potential client's portfolio. How do you handle a situation like that, Jenna?
I really am going to explain what I'm looking at and why. And oftentimes they will come to me with some concerns. And maybe those concerns have been, hey, it hasn't really grown in 2 or 3 years. And I thought I was in a fairly aggressive portfolio, so it should be growing. Or I'm afraid I'm taking too much risk or not enough risk. There's usually a concern there. That's the reason why they're in my office. But what I do is go through and I explain why what they've got might be good. And there are lots of occasions where I say, hey, they've done a lot of good things. But if it were me, I'd do things just a little bit differently. And here's why. And I will explain that in a way that they understand it, comparing it to, you know, kind of what they're looking to achieve. And then if it's possible, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about what I would do differently if I managed the portfolio. So sometimes it's just simply simplifying, taking a client who has 50 or 60 individual stock holdings and simplifying it to 5 to 7 mutual funds.
Okay.
It's a great load off their mind because now they don't have to pay attention to 10 pages each time they get a statement. They get one page.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
They can actually understand it and follow it. And those 5 to 7 mutual funds are far more diversified than 50 different individual stock holdings. So it isn't necessarily always that I see alarms going off, although I do see that on occasion.
Sure.
But it's more like, how can we make it more consistent, more efficient, and more easy for you to understand? And in the end, if you understand it, you feel comfortable with it, you're not going to make changes or do things that are going to upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Makes sense. And you've hit on this a little bit, but once you have a client working with you and you've simplified it and they understand what they're looking at, how can a client specifically see how they're doing?
As I mentioned, I have a personal financial portal that each client can see, you know, kind of the trajectory of the accounts. I also go through, at least on an annual basis with every client, either a video conference, a short video that I send them directly talking about their investments, or a meeting in my office if they're local, to talk about how the portfolio performed, what we expect if I had a crystal ball for the upcoming year or two, and really to try to make any strategic decisions that we need to make in order to get ahead of anything that I see as a potential risk.
The crystal ball would be an extra charge, hypothetically.
Yes, if I had one, it would be.
What kind of questions should these clients be asking you?
So really understanding what their risk tolerance is and what that means for them is super important. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, you might have your brother-in-law or father-in-law bragging that they got 15 or 20% rate of return this year on their investments. What you might not know is that that's one investment that had a really good year. And so, you know, and so that there is a huge risk to over concentration in one or a few positions. And that's something they might not be taking into account. And so really having a conversation with your advisor and making sure that you understand all of the risks that are in your portfolio, it's super important to do that and to really understand what they're saying and have somebody that you do understand what they're saying so that you don't leave their office each appointment more confused than when you walk through the door.
Alphabet soup. And oh, they told me about the ABC and XYZ and I'm not quite sure what it is, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we call the name of this podcast Making Money Fun, and it's obvious that you have a lot of fun, you know, doing this and you have a real passion for it. And I think it just speaks volumes to you that you really have sort of transitioned over into the fiduciary role in that you are more interested in the clients than the mutual funds or whatever else. But you've got people for that.
Absolutely.
I think that is so important. And if somebody wants to come in and talk to you, Shannon, what are the best ways to get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way is to really just go to my website. You can click schedule a consultation and you'll have to answer a few questions. And then you'll be able to pop my calendar right up, compare it to yours, and schedule some time to talk to me. Whether you're in the Phoenix area or you're outside of our area, I can do video or virtual meetings as well. And I'd love to do that.
Website is heritagefinancialaz.com. We'll also link to it in our show notes. And Shannon, we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thanks so much.